Calls for Newfoundland and Labrador's justice minister to resign after he said sexual assault survivors can't be re-traumatized. Airbus workers in Quebec reject the latest contract offer from the company. Feds announce $2.4 billion for AI in upcoming budget. The war on Gaza crosses 6 months, and Mexico pulls its diplomats out of Ecuador after embassy raid. Good morning. It's Monday, April 8th. I'm Nora. Here are your headlines. Newfoundland and Labrador's Justice Minister John Hogan has issued an apology for saying that it was quote-unquote impossible for lawyers to re-traumatize survivors of sexual assault. He made the comments back in early March during a session of the legislature and didn't apologize until late last week, after women's advocacy groups wrote an open letter calling for an apology. The comments he made were in response to a petition from the NDP justice critic Layla Evans. It asked a directive to lawyers preventing them from approaching witnesses who are victims of sexual assault and to stop yelling at them. In response, Hogan said this, quote, "There's no approaching of a witness, so I don't want anyone in this house to mislead what's happening in court here with regards to sexual assault victims. It's a very serious issue, and the lawyers in this province are not re-traumatizing sexual assault victims, whether it's a Crown or legal aid or private lawyer in this province. It's not the way it works. It's actually impossible for it to happen," unquote. Now, the former Crown prosecutor, Mike Murray, is calling for Hogan to resign, saying this whole situation demonstrates that he lacks an understanding of the criminal justice system. Next to Mirabel, where Airbus workers have rejected the latest offer from the company. The workers make the Airbus A220. They are members of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. The first offer was rejected 3 weeks ago, reports the Canadian Press. Now, this article has exceedingly few details. The only other thing that it mentions is that the workers had voted 98.9% in favor of strike over the first contract offer. Now, when I went to IAMAW's website to figure out what was going on, I may have gotten part of the reason why the Canadian press story has so few details. I couldn't find anything about these workers that was more recent than March. And so, hey, IAM, I know we've done some work together in the past, although that's been a bit of a while. Add a section to your website about the heck is going on with these workers, because people are curious, and that will help you get better media coverage. That's how it works. Call me if you've got more questions. Next, the Liberals have been spending the last little bit on a pre-budget tour, revealing everything that might be in the budget in an obvious bid to try and recoup support before a possible election. You will recall many of those announcements have been mentioned on the Daily News podcast, like loans for daycare centers and, allowing renters to use paying rent on time as part of their credit score. Well, the latest announcement has to do with investment in AI. Over the weekend, the Liberals announced that the budget would include a $2.4 billion, that is billion with a B, investment into Canada's AI sector. Now, to put that in perspective, that is the total revenue of CBC Radio Canada, okay? $2.4 billion. The press release said this, quote, "AI has the potential to transform the economy, and our potential lies in capitalizing on the undeniable Canadian advantage." Pause. The hell are they talking about? Okay, unpause. "These investments in budget 2024 will help harness the full potential of AI so Canadians, and especially young Canadians, can get good paying jobs while raising our productivity and growing our economy," unquote. Now, there are a lot of buzzwords in there that I want to just mention. First of all, one, especially young Canadians, very interesting considering young Canadians are the ones who are all using AI to write essays and are actually de-skillifying because of AI. Okay, interesting. Two, so they can get good paying jobs while raising our productivity. Here's the thing. AI is going to not just de-skillify jobs, it's going to drive down wages, I think. I think we can probably pretty clearly say that, because there's always going to be low paid work in our tiered capitalist economy. AI is not going to get rid of that. It's actually going to exacerbate it. And so good paying jobs, unlikely. And then raising our productivity, this is a big concern of economists in Canada. It's been a big concern for many, many years, because we are not very productive, and AI is not likely going to make us more productive. Anyway, okay, I'll continue. According to the reporting from the Canadian press via CBC, $2 billion will go to expanding the industry and infrastructure. They don't actually explain what that means, but that's what they say. The rest will be divided up towards trying to get various sectors like healthcare and agriculture to adopt AI, security against, quote, advanced or nefarious AI systems, unquote, and to make an office of the AI and Data Commissioner to enforce the proposed Artificial Intelligence and Data Act. Now, tomorrow, Sandy and I talk about what we think about all of this, so you'll have to wait till then to hear a pair of epic rants, but I want to remind you, this money could be spent in a million other different ways than to try and figure out how to help farmers with AI while throwing money in a black hole. It's so meaningless, and it'll be interesting to see how people react to it today as it was announced on a Sunday. I suspect this will be panned, though of course industries will be very happy to receive buckets of cash to just, I don't know what exactly, study AI, do AI, make AI. Okay, we'll see. Next to international news, yesterday marked 6 months since the start of the war on Gaza, and the situation remains dire. As a reminder of where we are, since the start of the war, Israel has killed more than 33,000 Palestinians, and that is undoubtedly a conservative estimate. Gaza's infrastructure has been completely demolished. There are no more functioning hospitals in the besieged territory. Israel is starving Palestinians to death because it, with the help of Egyptian authorities, refuses to allow the entry of aid via the Rafah border crossing. More than 100 journalists have been killed, making it one of the deadliest conflicts for journalists literally in the past century, while Israel continues to ban foreign journalists from entering Gaza. More than 200 aid workers have been killed, including the 7 aid workers I told you about last week, like Jacob Flickinger from The Bose. While there does seem to be some movement from countries as more and more people are pressuring their governments to end weapons exports to Israel, specifically in relation to the killing of the 7 aid workers, to be clear, we have yet to see any government actually carry out significant action in this regard. The past week, human rights lawyers in Germany filed an appeal against the government to stop weapons exports to Israel, while a Dutch court ordered the government there to block all exports of F-35 fighter jets to parts of Israel. In the UK, 3 former Supreme Court justices, along with 600 jurists and dozens of Labour MPs, that it could be breaking international law by continuing to send weapons to Israel. But none of this is enough. As this Sunday marked 6 months since the genocide began, Rwanda marked 30 years since the 1994 genocide that happened there. In addressing dignitaries and world leaders who gathered in the country's capital, President Paul Kagame said this of the genocide, quote, "It was the international community which failed all of us, whether from contempt or cowardice," unquote. The international community is failing again. It's failing, and all of us, each and every one of us, needs to be doing everything in our power to keep raising hell and to stop the carnage in Gaza. I want to mention that World Beyond War has said that they are going to be escalating their actions against the arms industry in this country. And so if you are curious and you want to get involved, check out World Beyond War, I think it's .org, or just search World Beyond War Canada and look to see if there's anything happening near you that you can get involved in. And finally, to a wild story out of South America, Mexico has pulled its diplomatic staff from Ecuador. This after Ecuadorian troops stormed the Mexican embassy, an unprecedented move and a clear violation of international law. The raid was a bid to arrest former Ecuadorian Vice President Jorge Glass, who has been sheltering in the embassy. The two countries severed ties immediately after the raid took place. Glass has had a warrant out for his arrest since December on charges of corruption. He sought asylum in the Mexican embassy and has been there ever since. Mexico then granted him asylum early Friday before the raid took place. Embassies have protections under international law and are considered sovereign territory of the country they represent. This is why Julian Assange, for example, was able to avoid arrest in the UK for so long by taking refuge in the Ecuadorian embassy there. Back to this story. According to Al Jazeera, the Ecuadorian presidency accused Mexico of, quote, having abused the immunities and privileges granted to the diplomatic mission that housed the former vice president and granted diplomatic asylum contrary to the conventional legal framework, unquote. In return, Mexico has stated that it will file a complaint against Ecuador at the International Court of Justice. Those are your headlines today for Monday, April 8th. I'm Nora. I hope that you are close enough to the band of eclipse to watch that magical thing happen today. Or maybe who cares? It happens all the time in a cosmic sense. However way you think about this eclipse, I hope you have a good day. You are listening to this podcast at sandynora.com on the Real News Network podcast feed and anywhere you get your podcasts. I will talk to you tomorrow. And remember, if you live in Edmonton, we're coming for you on April 20th. Get your tickets. And I think my power just went out.